Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Scumbags, this is the Scummy Mummies podcast with your hosts Ellie Gibson and Helen Thorne.
Hello and welcome to the Scummy Mummies podcast. I'm Ellie Gibson
and I'm Helen Thorne.
And who's our guest today, Helen?
It's only TV's Lucy Porter, Ellie.
Oh, not the comedian, actress, podcaster and woman from Croydon.
Yeah.
Surely not. The very one. Welcome to the podcast,
that's
Lucy.
That's everything you need to know.
That's
about
all you've
me.
Ever done in yeah. a nutshell.
Yeah. Yes, excellent. Now, we have been trying to get you on the podcast for years. I think we started talking about it, I don't know, back in the 70s.
We
said, Lucy, come on the podcast. And you were like, yeah. And now it's happening.
I sort of thought I'd already been on it because, like... My agent was like, do you want to do the Scummy Mummies podcast? And I was like, no, I've done that. Just because I've spent so much time talking to you over the
yes,
years.
Yes, exactly
I
right.
feel we've already done it. So let's talk about all the things we've never talked about before.
That's great.
Exactly. How much sex are you having at the moment? No, let's not start there. No, that's too much.
Well, I can tell you, because my husband is not in Edinburgh, where right. I currently am.
Yes.
So I'm not
loads,
having...
Loads, then. Absolutely.
Rife.
On it all night.
Yeah.
Excellent. Good for you.
Yeah.
Just to set the scene, listener, if you can hear a rushing noise in the background, where are we, Helen?
We're in a lovely flat in Edinburgh, just the two of us. No, it's not just the two of us. We're sharing it with your father.
We are, yeah. So my father, my 75-year-old father, who is our roadie, is here.
Yeah.
He didn't get out of bed. It's now 12 o'clock. He didn't get out of bed till 11 o'clock. And then you came at 11:30, Lucy, mm-hmm. and at which point my father came in and said, oh, do you mind if I make some black pudding and bacon? And
we were just like, readers.
Don't, it's not about you. And now he's running a tap very loudly, which is distracting.
No, that's the bacon. That's the bacon.
Is it the bacon? Oh,
yeah.
Is it the bacon? Oh, okay.
I'm not getting the smell yet. I was looking forward to that.
No, he's just...
So,
just
anyway, fat. Listeners, apologies in advance. If there's any interruptions or if we're a bit distracted, it's because, you know...
Oh, look, he'll be fine. He'll be fine. He hates attention.
He hates
being recorded.
I'm so sorry, Lucy. It's very embarrassing. Anyway, welcome. So how have you been enjoying the Edinburgh Festival?
I've been having such a wonderful time.
Is that true?
That sounded desperate, didn't it? I've just seen too much musical theatre. No, it's been really nice, actually. I've been here... So we speak mid-August, and I came up full of hopes and dreams on the 1st of August, and now I'm a broken husk of a woman heading back to my home in London. But no, I've had a brilliant time. I've seen loads of great shows, which I can tell you about. Oh, the bacon's kicked up.
Oh, it's
up
really
notch.
Kicked up. That's lovely ambiance. Thank you, Jim.
Oh, and I'm getting the smell.
Oh, black pudding.
I'm getting that smell. Mm. Oh, okay.
Ooh,
that's
meaty.
Like wet dog. Okay. Anyway, what were we talking about? Yeah, anyway,
yeah,
good.
Yeah.
It's all good. And I have got so fit up here, which I always do because I forget how hilly it is.
Mm.
And I've been running... I've got an Apple Watch. Don't like to brag, but my sister gave it to me. And my Apple Watch thinks I'm having this amazing kind of fitness holiday.
Excellent.
Because I wake up every morning and it says, you've already completed your rings for the day. And it's because I've been dashing between bars with a pint in one hand and a kebab in the other.
Yeah.
And then
yeah.
weaving home tipsily. So I'm smashing all my exercise rings before I've even... And then I wake up the next morning feeling absolutely shocking. But my Apple Watch is telling me that I am a paragon of fitness and virtue. So
you're peaking.
Right.
You're at peak fitness. You're at like a boot camp. That's what I like. So I woke up this morning and done like 5,000 steps. I thought, Yes, I was also smoking cigarettes, and we had a kebab at about 1 a.m, didn't we?
I had fish and chips. It's very nice. Our flat is next to a fish and chip shop that's open till 3 a.m. and does a deep fried Mars bar for £4.50, which I feel is a little overpriced, but all the same.
Cafe Picante, give them the
Cafe Picante.
There's also another nice chippy down the road. It's you're living on Broughton Street. Shall I just tell everyone you're actually?
Yes, please.
And then everyone can come.
We'll be gone by the time this goes out, so it's fine. Burglars, we don't care. Yeah. It's not even our flat. So what is your Edinburgh show about this year?
Well, it's about my midlife crisis, guys. Obviously, you are young spring chickens who haven't got there yet, but I found this study that said happiness dips from the age of 21. It follows a sort of curve where your happiness dips and dips and dips and dips and dips, and it reaches its nadir at between the ages of 45 and 54, and I'm 49.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
But then it picks up again. This is the good news.
Right.
So by the time you're in your mid-60s,
when your children have left home.
Exactly.
Yeah. And your husband is dead. Yeah. Good. Yeah.
Then you're happy again. Obviously, you know, your dad must be ecstatic. That's why he's such a cheerful chap.
So why is that? Is that hormonal? Is that just with your life circumstances, or what causes that?
Well, nobody really knows. So I thought, well, why not explore it in a show? So I've got lots of stuff about how... I mean, and it is everything you said. It's basically the fact that you're normally in the middle of a marriage that you've been in for too long, and it's going to go on for a bit longer. I sort of, marriage is waking up every day and seeing the face of the person you love aging in front of you. It's like the scene at the end of Raiders of the Lost Ark where the Nazis' faces melt, but in slow motion. That's my little description of marriage in my show. And work and kids and elderly parents.
Elderly parents is probably the worst thing about being our age, Lucy. I agree.
The burden,
ball and chain.
They call us the sandwich generation, and in your case, it's a black pudding sandwich.
In my case, it's very, very dry, old, stale bread. Very unpleasant. Probably the crusts, the end crust.
Can I tell a joke?
No, because it won't pick up. You can't tell a joke. It's not your time. It's not like it's time old white men had a voice, Dad, is it? Anyway, sorry, Lucy. I'm so sorry.
He'll probably win the Edinburgh Comedy Award now.
Being heckled on our own podcast.
Yeah.
But I think there's some kind of freedom in your 40s. I mean, obviously, I'm having a lovely time. Don't like to go on about it. But I think there's a freedom in getting older and not giving a fuck. And obviously, your friendships solidify, as well as other things solidify. And things dropping off, but there is things going lumpy in my case.
Oh,
yes. Would you like to mention you're not cancer?
Well, I just have. I haven't got cancer, everyone. You're welcome. No, I had a lump in my boob. Again, this is one of the great things about being in your mid 40s. You get lumpy boobs, apparently. I didn't know that's pretty standard. Not just obviously the obvious, because you just think, well, I did cancery lumps. I found a lump. I thought, well, that's obviously cancer. Probably got about 6 months. Yeah. We've all seen beaches.
Yes.
Went to the doctor, got referred to the hospital very quickly, saved the NHS, all that, and it turns out it's just a cyst, almost like it's just a lump, and they drained it, which was one of the most erotic things that's ever happened to me, let me tell you.
Did they let you keep the drain?
They did let me see it. I did see the what can only be described as pus, Lucy, going into the little syringe. I found it very, very, it was exciting. Mm. And the radiologist was like, yeah, it's quite satisfying, actually. I was like, yeah, I bet it is. But apparently that happens all the time, that people get these cysts.
Yes.
And I've got loads in the other tit. She's like, it's not worth draining all those. And
No boob left, Ellie.
No, it would just be like, one would just be like a sort of crumpet stuck on my chest if we did that. So, but she did say I've got very dense young breasts. So that's good news, isn't it?
Put that on your poster.
Absolutely.
Dense young breasts, 5 stars.
Yes. But anyway,
it's true though, there are all those things. Well, so I talk about a gallbladder at quite some length.
Oh, that's a lovely thing.
That's a nice thing to have.
Have you had to pass any stones?
Yeah, but I haven't had it out, and I'm debating. Maybe.
I'm so aroused right now.
Can we talk more about things?
Let's talk more about pus and stones.
Oh, yes,
pus and stones. Where is your gallbladder? I don't actually know. What is it?
Well, it's between, isn't it, your liver and your bile duct?
Lower down, in your abdomen.
Yeah, somewhere down there.
No, my liver's probably quite enlarged, so it occupies the top half of my body anyway. But
Cholecystitis is what the doctor said it was called. And anything with cystitis in it, I'm like, oh, that's bad.
Yeah. That's
ouchy.
That's nobody's favourite.
Smarts.
Yeah. So yeah, so it's a deeply depressing show that I'm doing, as you can tell. It's all, but it is the good. No, you're absolutely right, of course, Helen. That the upsides, and we end on a joyful note, and it is all about my mates that I've known since I was 11 from Croydon, and you know how we're still there for each other, and also there's. Do you remember that poem? Warning by Jenny Joseph. It's the one that goes, when I'm an old woman, I shall wear purple with a red hat. Doesn't go. So we sort of talk a bit about that in the show, and how that's like, for men, a midlife crisis is running off with a 23-year-old Brazilian underwear model and getting a sports car.
Yeah.
And for women, it's getting a new hat. Which is sort of... Initially, you think that's quite depressing.
Yeah.
But actually, I think we do cope. I think women, because of our friends and stuff, and because we can talk about the fact that we've all got lumpy boobs and terrible, you know, leaking things and falling off things, I think we actually do cope with it a bit better. We don't tend to sort of go as mad.
I mean, full disclosure, as part of my midlife crisis, I did buy a sports car.
Hey!
But it was, like, secondhand, it's like 20 years old, so it was not that much more than a hat.
Or a boot job, or a... Yes, exactly. You could have gone to Bulgaria and got a new fanny, but you got a Porsche. Yeah.
Can you get a new fanny? Can you get a new fanny?
Yeah, you apparently can. You can have... What's it? It's not...
Vaginal...
Plasty?
Right, not right. Plasty,
that's
your
nose.
Have a nose put in your vagina. That would be awful.
Who'd want to smell that?
In that area that you want to smell.
Oh, well, you always need another hole. You can get a new fanny. You can make it younger and
why would you do that when you could get a car? You can take a car to the garden centre. You can't take a new fanny.
Your lady garden.
You can't get that out in the cafe at the Squires, can you?
No, you can't drive past the school with that.
I can't find the salt and pepper.
Never mind.
I haven't got the salt and pepper.
Fuck off. It's a rented flat. You don't get salt and pepper.
No, you do not.
For goodness sake. Where's he think he is?
You get 18 cushions, but you get no condiments.
No. I turned up at one year where we had three types of cheese grater but no corkscrew, and I was like, what life do these people live grating cheese but not drinking wine?
Were they mice? What are they doing?
I'm interested in your car though. What make of car is it?
It's a Porsche Boxster, which I've been told is a woman's car, as if that's a bad thing. So that's nice.
What colour?
It's navy blue.
Ooh.
And it's got a pullback top.
Yes.
I can't remember the name. I shouldn't be allowed this car, really.
No, top down, whatever
top
it is.
Top down.
Yeah.
And the insides, it was, I bought it from my friend Peter, who's 75, so he's looked after it beautifully.
Wow.
And the insides are butterscotch coloured leather.
Gosh, lovely.
Oh, and I get in it, Lucy. I put some Fleetwood Mac in the compact disc player. I put my driving gloves on and I become Ellen Partridge. That's what I do. I love it.
I'm thinking it's the chain, you know what I mean? Rather than more one of the floatier ones.
Yeah, you like a sports car, don't you?
I love a sports car. I recently, and listen to me boast, I was recently on Celebrity Antiques Road Trip.
Yes, please, indeed. Oh,
one
my
of the
goodness
best
me.
Day. Well, it was a couple of days. Me and my friend Jenny Ryan off The Chase, who I do a podcast
with. Oh, yeah.
We were a last minute booking because somebody had dropped out due to a tabloid scandal. So we got this call saying,
not Ryan Giggs or Griggs or whatever his name is.
It was I might tell you later.
Tell us off mic. Yeah.
So they said, do you want to come to Wales and drive around? It was like the hottest day of 2021. Mm-hmm. And we drove around Wales having an amazing time in first of all, the car I'd always dreamt of driving, which was a 1960s Volvo.
Oh.
And I had said to them, if you possibly can, this is the car I've always wanted. They got me a 1960s Volvo and I broke it within the first half hour.
What did you do?
Well, basically, it was a really heavy car and we were starting off at the bottom of a very big hill. And I haven't used choke for a while.
Right.
So I had to try and work out how to use the choke. Anyway, I somehow...
Oh,
like,
mate.
It was the fuel pump went, and I think it was because I was just too heavy on it, because I was trying to get it up this hill while sort of... Anyway, awful. But the upside of it was then they gave me this sort of 1990s Mercedes convertible.
Oh, dear. How lovely.
It was just the most... And it was automatic, and it was just... I mean, I think they looked...
They went... And this one's for you.
Yes. Yeah. This is the idiot car that we get. This is basically...
It's the bumper car.
It didn't even turn on. They just put it on planks and, like, on rollers. And there was another car in front. They just towed you around.
She had a green screen behind her. Yeah. A wind machine.
Know. It'll be fine. She's in her mid-40s. She won't know. Yeah. It's fine.
But, yeah, that's my... If I decide to get my midlife crisis car, that's what I'm going to get. But it was really... Because I did. I went, oh, God, maybe I could get one. And I looked into it and it was, like, 25 grand or something.
Yeah.
That's an answer.
Yeah, that's my car was much, much less than that.
Yes. You'd have to really... But you'd be having a serious midlife crisis to spend 25 grand on a car, I think.
So how else has your midlife crisis manifested?
Well, I've taken up running.
Oh, yeah.
Classic, the exercise thing with... And, you know, we can't not talk about it, can we? That's what I always find is, like, you know, everyone's on Facebook posting their how many K they've run this week, and it's and you know, young people don't do that, they just bloody get on with it.
I wonder what that's about. I mean, obviously, you know, because I used to, and this is not me critiquing anyone, I used to run as well. My knee's fucked now, so I can't do it. But we did the marathon last year, didn't we?
Yeah,
you're doing it again. But I think it's about showing off, obviously, and that's fine, that's what Facebook is for. But also I think it's about, sometimes running can feel really pointless.
Yes.
Like, obviously it isn't, because you're getting healthier, but running, especially when you're running very long distances, like, sometimes you'd be like, what's the point? So maybe it's about going, look, this isn't futile. Look, everyone, look, I've achieved something.
Yeah, I think it's right to seek affirmation, actually. I do think, you know, it's a difficult one as well, though, isn't it? Because you sort of... Like, I sort of think when people are running marathons or climbing mountains and stuff, I'm like, that's great. But sometimes my friends do ask me to sponsor them for fun runs. And I'm like, no, it's got the word fun in it. I'm not having 20 quid for that.
No. Come back to me when you've run an extra 20 miles. then I'll give you some cash.
Yeah. I got asked to sponsor someone once because they were not going to drink alcohol for a month. And I was like, I'm not going to pay you money for not doing something. I was like, well, I tell you what, I'm not going to go windsurfing in December. Can I have £50? Like, what are you talking about? It's nonsense.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's that sort of sponsorship culture is kind of quite weird, isn't it? It's like, if you're going to get, I don't know, trapped in a lift with an angry gibbon for 5 minutes, then that's interesting. And
So running, yes.
Yeah, that's another thing that I've taken up. Trees.
Have you done any woo-woo? Are you into any meditation? Have you got crystals?
No, I mean, I've always been quite a sceptic.
Yeah.
And although I did... I was on EastEnders earlier this year. Look at me. Antiques Road Trip.
Here we go. 15 minutes.
What did you have in the sweepstake? How long
she
will it take?
She was on EastEnders. Tell us everything about it.
You knew I was going to
mention it. Were you an EastEnders
fan?
It's
the most exciting thing. Well, so this is how it relates to the woo, is that my mum was a massive EastEnders fan. And I used to watch it with her. And then after she died, I'd sort of stopped watching it. But her name was Rita... And my agent said, oh, they want you to play a part in EastEnders. The character's name is Rita. And I was like, it's a sign for me on the grave. And I think I am a little bit more kind of, I don't know, ghosts and things. I suppose maybe I'm a bit more broad-minded about all of that, just because I think, oh, do you know what? Anything's possible, isn't it? Look at the shit show that the world is at the moment. Who knows what's possible?
Yes, be open to it, Lucy. Be open to
it. You know,
see a white feather. You know, all the things. It's a white feather. Anyway.
It's a sign. It's a sign that there's a fucking bird around somewhere. Yeah. That's what it's a sign of, people. Come on. It's a sign that birds exist.
Oh, I know, and actually thinking about it, Rita is a really fairly common name.
That's a very East End name, but it's great. But was it everything you wanted?
It was. Well, and it did make me a little bit excited, because I think, you know, you get to... You're a woman in showbiz in your late 40s, about to turn 50 next year. And, you know, television isn't exactly knocking down my door. Do you know what I mean? My agent does make me laugh because she's like, well, there's no way we're not going to get on telly now, Lucy. That's over. And so I was like, no, you see, the soaps is where middle-aged women live, and that's fine.
And call the midwife, yeah?
Yes, I could be a midwife.
You
very,
could.
Very happy
I think
to
you,
be.
I think you should go for that one.
Or none. Mm. But it was amazing. It was so much fun having watched EastEnders over the years and then being on set. It is like a fever dream where you're inside... your own imagination and pulling out the washing in the laundrette, which I think is the same washing that's been there since the 1980s. It's kind of very weird.
It's like Chelsea.
Dust. Yeah.
Blondie t-shirt, yeah, sort of.
Stussy hat, all the things, yeah.
Stussy hats, God, yeah.
What are they called? They're pork pie hats, is that right? Was that what it was called?
Oh, bucket hat.
Bucket hat, thank you, yeah.
It's so funny when you see, there were a group of young girls out in Edinburgh the other night and they were wearing, it was like meeting myself from the 90s coming towards
That's
me because they were wearing little sort of handkerchief tops and big baggy jeans.
Oh my God, like All Saints.
Yes, indeed. Oh, and those, God. What were those trousers called? Were they Maharishi or what was the name of the brand of, like, it was a cargo pant.
Oh yeah, and they look tassely, it's excessive zips,
yeah, and they cost about £1 million. But you could get a sort of similar version from Topshop.
Yeah, the bucket hat thing is funny. We went to the Sausage and Cider Festival, not to brag, but we were one of the main acts in Derbyshire, and we saw a young man having the best day of his life.
He was lovely.
Ellie, tell the listener.
We were up in this bar that was on a little platform sort of thing, so you could see the stage quite well from this little platform. And there was this guy, he was about 25, just this dude. He was like on his own, stood by the railings, and we were watching the Take That tribute band, who I think were called Rule the World or something. Why they weren't called Fake That, I don't know.
Or Take That's obviously This, a I don't name. Know, yeah.
Those have probably all been taken. There's probably so many.
There's probably 40, isn't there?
Yeah.
So anyway, he was there. They were very good, the band. I bet you and I watched it, they go, oh, they're good. If you like Take That, you like this. I mean, Howard looks, you know, well, nobody's in exactly the right demographic, but it's fine. It's all fine. It was a great... This bloke, who can't have been even alive, I don't think, when Take That originally emerged, was absolutely just living his best life, swaying, singing, arms in the air, fingers in the air, just everything. And living just joy, just emitting joy. But what really topped it off was he had this bucket hat on which printed as a pattern all over was the word cunt. And I just loved it. It was fucking brilliant. I sort of wanted Helen to marry him.
I know, I was going over to snog him and then his girlfriend turned up. And I was like, oh.
You could have just stolen the cunt hat.
I want to ask you about a particular Fringe show you were in with Christian Slater. Is that right?
Christian Slater.
Off of Heathers.
Oh. And Name of the Rose. And
oh, my God.
Oh, Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves.
Yes.
Oh, his finest
hubbada, hubbada, hubbada.
Not in it a huge amount, but steals the scene every time.
Oh, yes, please.
Still my scene, etc.
Oh,
yes. What's he like? Is he a sexy man in real life?
2004 was the year, and we were doing One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, and it came to Edinburgh, and we'd been rehearsing in London, and like meeting Christian Slater was, for me, like massive Heathers fan. But it is funny where you meet someone and you think, oh my God, I'm just going to go complete to pieces, and then you see them in real life, and you go, actually, I don't fancy them.
Interesting.
That's weird. I mean, you know, I it's not like I was... Well, in fact, I say it's not like I was having to bat him away. It was a very sexually charged production, and we were all sort of, you know, nothing really happened, but we were all being very sort of flirty, and we were all... Because everyone was dressed as nurses. But yeah, we had this amazing time. I had never really hung out with any... Well, I'd never hung out with anyone properly famous, and it's such an... It's like if you've got a really pretty friend... And you kind of go, oh God, the world's like, obviously both of you, you know, this is your lives.
We're here with you right now.
The world is so much easier. I used to have a friend called Faye at university who was a model, and she'd dated Mick Hucknall and everything. I used to get the train sort of down to London from Manchester a lot. And I remember the first time I ever went with her, and it was like people would carry our bags, and I would normally be struggling with my suitcase or my rucksack. Mm. And with a beautiful woman, it was like suddenly men were falling over themselves to carry her stuff. And similarly with Christian Slater, I'd done the Edinburgh Festival a number of times, and you know what it's like, you know, you're sort of trying to get into bars, but you're not famous enough to be let in, and you know, and it was extraordinary. We had the time of our lives because every hotel, restaurant, pub in Edinburgh wanted him in their bar.
Mm.
And so, I mean, he'd just been to rehab, but it hadn't really taken.
Okay.
So I think he'd be fine with me saying that now, because he is now clean and sober, and his life is great, and he's, you know, married and very happy. But we had the most extraordinarily louche
debaucherous.
Debauched. It was
excellent.
Amazing. So, yeah, I would highly recommend if you can be in a play. Because then we went into the West End and it was the same in London, because at that time not many Hollywood actors had come over to do stuff yet. So, so yeah, it was just, it was like being with the most sort of incredible person on the planet that everybody
like Jesus
to.
Parting the seas.
It
like,
was.
It's just like, oh, and here he comes.
And
yes,
people
you can come
were
through.
Just so excited. And even, you know, other famous people were like really excited about meeting. And it was the time when, do you remember Abby Titmuss?
Oh, yes. Yes.
She was very much in the news, and she, like, we hung out with her for a night and stuff, and it just, yeah, really weird random people would come and see. So when we were in the West End, like, Burt Reynolds came to see.
Oh my god.
The play. So you'd meet all these really strange random sort of Hollywood people, and yeah, it was a wild ride.
But how many years have you done the comedy now?
Oh my gosh. It's, well, so this is my 20th anniversary of doing Edinburgh. So I did my first show here in 2002. So, and I was a few years before that, I'd started doing little bits and bobs. So, yeah, so it's definitely more than 20 years, probably slightly less than 30.
Do you still get a thrill when you go out on stage? Or is it just like, yeah, it's just like going to the factory or sitting at the checkout? Yeah.
Just boop, there's a joke.
Yeah.
I don't get as nervous as I used to, which is really nice. Again, it's the not giving a shit thing, isn't it? Of like, actually, if it goes well, that's a bonus. But to be honest, I mean,
No one's going to die.
And especially after lockdown and the pandemic and everything, I think, you know, I've got a very realistic sense of how important my job is in the great scheme of things, and that's absolutely fine.
Yeah.
But I do really enjoy it, though. And the thing I love is, like, the week before Edinburgh, kind of getting the show together and being a bit, and then you do get a bit nervous, like, oh, I don't know if this is going to work, and then the first couple of days of the Edinburgh Festival are horrible, because it's like, oh my god, I've got to get the show in shape, and it always feels like it's not going to come together, and then it's lovely, and that's why I do keep coming. And I worry that I look like a bit of a sad old twat, that, you know, all the young comedians are going, god, isn't it tragic she's still coming after 20 years. Oh, I hope my, and because I think when I was their age, I would have thought, god, if I'm not, you know, a massive star and, you know, in Hollywood or doing something, then, you know, oh, I'd hate to still be doing this. But actually, I really, really enjoy it. I really love the festival and I love seeing other shows, but I do really like my little hour on stage. And it is, like, actually, as a middle-aged woman, you do think that you know, the whole cliche about you become invisible. And anything you can do to kind of go, actually, I'm going to make people
I'll
look at me.
I'll keep turning up. I'm going to keep people showing up.
Yeah,
absolutely.
And do you feel a pressure to talk about stuff that has broader appeal for everyone? Or are you just like, no, I'm going to talk about middle-aged women's shit because that's my shit. That's what I'm doing.
And I do at the beginning of this show say, young people, I'm glad you've come, but there is nothing in this for you whatsoever.
No, I've got a 5-minute bit about loom bands. You're going to fuck it up.
Let me TikTok for you. Yeah.
How do you write your stuff then? Is it, do you just sit down and go, right, here's...
No, it's the worst. I mean, I don't ever sit down. And in fact, I have freed myself from the shackles of the computer now. I don't actually type anything, even. I just say it and I record it and I wander about.
What, did you just go for walks and stuff?
Yeah,
or
I just go for a nice walk. And
really? Just talk to yourself.
Yeah.
About middle-aged shit.
Yeah, and I just go, what am I going to talk about?
Let's write our next Edinburgh show while we're doing Nepal. I think that will be really...
Yeah.
The rest of the people on our trek will really enjoy that.
Let's do it on the way to Everest Base Camp. Yeah, we'll come back going, oh, tell you what, I saw this yak the other day. Fucking hell.
And you know what yaks are like,
guys.
Yeah,
you know what they're like. Come on. Oh, God.
Oh, yak.
You know when you're stepping over a corpse at the foot of Everest? Oh, yeah. God, so funny.
Very relatable.
You know when you're drinking your own piss, guys, right? Yeah. No, Bear, mate.
Hey, I know you do, Bear. Hey.
I did know. I had a whole section about Bear Grylls in last year's show. You just never know, do you, what's going to... Also, I think when you start writing a show, I don't know how you... If it's the same for you, but the change of what you think the show is going to be to what it actually becomes is like, you know, I thought this, my Edinburgh show this year, I thought it was going to be all about having ADHD and I don't know, yeah, sort of my mental health, and it's not ended up being that at all. It's been a show all about midlife crisis, and you know, and it's not a world apart, but it's definitely not the show that I thought it would be. And that's what, again, what I like about stand-up is that you can change it as you go along as well, and if you change your mind about something, or if you sort of, you know, nothing is set in stone, it's all sort of ephemeral, and you can just sort of go, no, that didn't work, and get rid of it, and it doesn't exist anymore. Whereas I think if I wrote a book, and I would like to, and this is one of the problems I have, is that I can never sort of finish any project, and I've started about 15 books and never finished one. But I do wonder if part of that is that I worry that if it was written down and it's that, do you know what I mean? Would you look back at your book and go, ooh, I would have changed anything? Or?
Yeah, I think what was really good, like, so I got asked to write the book, and they said, well, write about your first year of separation. And in a way, that was good because it was a structure. So there was no rules, but essentially they wanted to know, you know, what happened, you know, how sad you got, and then a nice happy ending where there's a bit of resolution. But, I think I found... I thought I was going to be positive about the whole thing, but when I worked with an editor, they're like, no, you've got to have some darkness in there. You've got to actually own how fucking sad you were, or own how angry you were. And so that was really good. But I know what you mean, because you've got to get a book deal, you've got to write a synopsis, and that's what you've got to deliver. And I think that's the better thing about having a stand-up show. You're like, well, this is mine, this is, I can do whatever the fuck I like. I did want to mention that I think the first time we met you, we did your gig, which was called, was it Crying with Laughter, Screaming with Laughter?
That's right.
And
yes.
So and it's so funny because you know, we were sort of in that zone, and that's how we started being that kind of disheveled,
just
early...
had a baby and not knowing how to be, and
and our comedy was very much focused on nappy changes and toddlers and all that sort of stuff. And I just remember when we did your gig, you just saw these very fragile new mothers, and we were going, oh god, just feed the fish fingers, and they looked slightly horrified about like that transition from like precious first baby to like, oh fuck it, you know, give them Haribo for lunch sort of thing. And because you no longer do those the baby gigs or anything.
No, I just think once you're through, I mean, and I love the fact that there is stuff for new parents, and but they're very welcome to it. I had a 2-year-old in my gig last night, and I was like, oh, I remember, you know, because a couple of the audience I could see were a bit like, oh god, why have they brought a 2-year-old to a gig? But I was like, no, I remember, you just are desperate to do stuff, aren't you?
Yeah. To feel normal again, to have a bit of normality, and you're not just CBeebies and, you know, mashed banana. But
and now I don't know what's on CBeebies. I get that awful thing where people will say, oh yeah,
oh, it's
you
Mr.
know,
fucking Tumble, surely on
oh,
every
Tumble's
show.
Tumble's an evergreen performer.
He's like the new Chuckle Brothers, isn't he, where they will never retire, they will never be,
no, and they've just always been there. I'm pretty sure he entertained Queen Victoria's children back in the time. He's a legend.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. and they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
So yes, what is it time for the Scummy Mummy Confessions?
Absolutely is, Ellie.
Excellent. So we like to ask all our guests, Lucy, for a story of, well, it could be parenting failure, or it could just be general personal humiliation, or something embarrassing. I'm trying to think if I've got one.
I'm trying to, like, personal embarrassment, like for example, when I took my daughter to baby swimming. Which is the most pointless thing, by the way.
Horrible,
if any
horrible.
New parents are listening, do not bother with any of that crap.
Like, just put them in the fucking bath and sing them Bar Bar Black Sheep. It'd be absolutely fine.
Yeah. Yeah. Don't go to a cold municipal pool. And what I had happen was I put Emily... And they didn't have any facilities, really.
No.
It was like, oh, yeah, they'll take your money to
Do,
but they won't actually give you anything useful. So there was no, like, little thing to put them in, like pen to put them in while you get changed. So anyway, so Emily crawls out while I am getting changed. Crawls out, is sort of dashing towards the pool, and I'm kind of running out, but then my towel...
Oh, no.
And I expose myself to an entire... And I mean, I know I like attention. I've just said...
Yeah.
That is not the kind of attention.
There's attention and there's unintentional streaking.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
a different yeah. kind of attention yeah. you'll get
I,
for that.
I think my highlight of swimming was I took my two-year-old son, and I don't know, he must have drank about half the pool, because when I was getting... We're just toweled off, we're both nude, and he pissed into the clean bag of clothes. It was who wants to put on warm piss? Nobody wants that. And he just stood there. Yeah, so that's a scummy mummy confession of yore. But yeah, that was awful. I don't think I have felt so stressed. And it would be having the baby and then the toddler, and the toddler would run off and you're in the noodle breastfeeding,
yes.
and then the toddler would get lost and hide in a locker. Awesome. So you think they've been abducted?
Can
the
we
worst.
Talk about not mine, sadly, but one of my favourite confessions we had in the show of all time, a swimming one, was I hope we haven't told this one before, but anyway, it's a good story. So this woman was in the pool. And it was the 1980s, right, when you were allowed to, like, be in the pool with, like, up to sort of 47 children.
Yes.
And then if one or two of them drowned, it didn't really matter.
No, and you could
Nobody
smoke.
Sued anyone
no,
in those days.
Fine.
It was fine.
Yeah.
So she was, like, in the, like, with, like, four or five kids in the pool, and it was just her. And one of the, like, the six-year-old was like, oh, mummy, I really need a wee. So she just went, oh, it's all right. Just do it in the pool. And he was like, okay, right, fine. And then she heard this sort of tinkling noise and she turned round and he'd climbed out of the pool and he was standing on the edge of the pool,
pissing
just pissing
into
the water.
Into the pool.
Yes, that's... which I thought was a lovely story, which I think we then nicked for the show. And then I used to do it as a bit of stand-up because I just thought it was so brilliant.
That young man turned out to be...
Yes, that's right.
Boris
and
Johnson.
Now Nigel Farage is... But yeah, so we've had so many confessions, haven't we, about swimming, especially about Centre Parks as well. Listen, you come to a few of our shows, you'll never go near that fucking hot tub again.
I had a woman who said she did a dump in a Starbucks cup in a changing room at Centre Parks.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're low moments, people.
I mean, I don't have any track with Centre Parks whatsoever.
Do you not like it?
Oh, I really, really don't. And I know I've just destroyed any chances of a sponsorship deal, but I've only been once in...
I love it, listener. I would happily live there, given the choice.
We all
Why
know.
Don't you like it, Lucy?
Oh, wait, okay. I'm going to personally
here we go. Let's
insult
go.
You here.
All right,
really.
Come on, let's
right.
do it.
To
let's,
me.
Let's. This is real talk now. Let's get to the real shit. Enough about your fucking comedy career. Let's get fucking real.
It's for people who love admin. It's
yes.
for people who like, oh, I made a spreadsheet. This is what we're doing for the weekend. Yes. Okay. Huh? So we booked the archery. And so for people like me who are just crap at admin, you know, you turn up. And because also, right, as a single parent, not that I am, but my husband wasn't with me and I took the kids on my own. Everything about Centre Parks involves about, you need about five adults. So you turn up and everybody's turning up at the same time. And then you have to leave your car somewhere and then, you know, take your stuff to the chalet.
Because it's an idyllic paradise. You don't need a car in paradise.
It's a fake plastic version of the outdoors. It's,
well, why don't you go and live in the woods with Bear Grylls and drink your own piss?
I would rather do that than go somewhere where
drink
people
his piss.
Shit in
drink
a cup.
Drink his fucking piss.
Oh, no.
Shit in a cup.
drink your own piss. I mean, when you put it,
the choice is neither is ideal.
No, I did not.
A lovely Costa, or no, a Cafe Rouge
with a soft play
in a restaurant, Lucy. That's fucking genius.
I do like the pool. Okay, I'll
Here
give you
go.
That. It's
Here
a good
go.
Pool.
Yeah,
but you can get the same. You go to the Coral Reef in Bracknell.
All right.
Yeah. You get the Centre Parks pool, but you don't have to stay in a horrible cabin and then. And
it's not a horrible cabin. It's a Scandinavian woodland lodge. What are you talking about?
She's drunk
everything.
The Kool-Aid.
They charge you for everything. Welcome to capitalism. You're not going into Sainsbury's and just sweeping things off the shelves into your handbag and then walking out, are you? Yes, they charge you for everything. It's 21st century Britain. Mm.
But the outdoors, they charge you for the outdoors. It's like you have to. Build a den, but oh yeah, that'll cost you a fiver because we'll bring you logs. And it's like, no, go out in the proper woods and build a proper den for free. It is Centre Parks. It's a holiday for Tories. That's what it is.
Oh, get out!
Yeah.
Dad! Open the front door!
I stand by it.
How
massive Tory.
Listen, say what you like about Centre Parks, but the woman who calls me a Tory is the woman. I'm going to shit in a cup and put it on your head. That's what I'm going to do. That's what I'm going to. How dare you! No, fair enough. I know what you mean about the admin, but I don't do Centre Parks like that because I'm very tight as well. So I'm like, no, I'm not paying for fucking. You're right. I'm not paying for fucking. You get your own fucking sticks to build a den, kids. Yes, we're not doing that. Yes. We don't do it. And I hate having appointments on holiday.
Yeah.
Like sometimes we go to with my friend Jessie and she's like, well, why don't we do treetop thingy at 10:15? I'm like, because I might still be in my pyjamas.
Yeah. Exactly.
Don't give a shit. So I agree with you. Yes. We've reached some common ground.
We have.
It feels like a Leaver and a Remainer finally, you know.
Yes. I'm staying well out of it. You have enough.
And I agree, the pool is excellent.
The pool is excellent. Yeah. Although, it is, as I say, it's probably filthy, isn't it?
I think if you think about anything that other people use, and if the pandemic has taught us anything, it's that there were loads of people who didn't apparently wash their hands.
Oh.
And then suddenly it was like, oh, people are buying soap. It's like, yeah, do you not normally use
soap? Apparently 1 in 5 people don't wash their hands after going to the toilet. And I was like, that's disgusting.
Yeah, so never think about what other people are doing. And, you know, you just have to keep your head down. Well, no, don't keep your head down in the Centre Parks pool. Keep it up, keep it above the water.
Yeah, don't drink it.
And you'll be fine. But,
I did, there was a story, I think I shared it on Twitter. There was a story in the Daily Mirror the other day about a woman who'd gone to Centre Parks. And she complained that the patio outside her Scandinavian woodland lodge was covered in duck shit because, you know, there are ducks. And there was a picture of it. And there was, like, a little bit of duck shit. But it was not.
It's kind of charming that there's ducks
everywhere. You love duck shit. Yeah. Everybody doesn't like a bit of duck shit.
Yeah,
you know?
Mind. You're in the woods. You're in the fake woods.
It's not human shit.
It's not fake shit. It's actually real. That's one of the things that's real at Centre Parks.
Build a den out of that, kids. That's
great.
And she complained to Centre Parks and they said they would come and jet wash it and then they didn't. So she complained again. So they sent some people around with some bleach, some Scandinavian bleach.
Spread it in her face.
And then she complained because obviously it's not good for children to be, I don't know, inhaling bleach.
She sounds awesome.
And I just thought, you signed up for a holiday which basically revolves around swimming in human piss. Like, that's what Centre Parks is. That's why it's so fucking warm in there. Never mind subtropical paradise. Yeah. That's why the water is so warm.
Yeah.
And you're complaining about duck shit on your patio. I mean, really.
Yeah. But people are too clean as well. That's the other... you know, people need to be exactly as clean as me. That's the...
yeah.
I always find that with other parents. I'm like, no, you need to be just as clean as me because that side of the line... disgusting slobs, that side of the line, clean freaks, do it, you know, you're probably making your children's immune systems
doing the
microbiome's really going to suffer.
So,
bad parent.
Just my level of cleanliness and that's it.
That's lovely. Another friend of mine said to me, who also doesn't like it, and I'm aware many people don't, she said, but it's like having a holiday at Terminal 5. And I was like, and what's is wrong with that? I love Terminal 5. It's a very strong branch of Bella Pasta. What's not to like?
Actually, I would holiday in Terminal 5.
Got 3 WH Smith.
Yeah. Toilets are very clean.
I tell you where I'd holiday is Liverpool John Lennon Airport.
Oh, right. I've been
that
there.
That would be like a boutique hotel. So that's one of my absolute favourite airports. So if I can go on holiday to an airport, that's the one I'm going to choose, please.
Excellent. Well, I look forward to that airport also being renamed after someone who's not a misogynist and a bit racist. That'll be
Why it's not called Cilla Black Airport already, I just don't know.
You can fly from John Lennon to George Best, so you can go to a wife beater, a wife beating alcoholic.
Excellent. And then perhaps why not long haul JFK?
Just doing. Oh my God, that's our Channel 5 show.
Yes, just touring all the
misogynist airports.
Terrible men. There's one in Uganda called Idi Amin Airport or something.
Yeah, there will be. Who knows?
Oh, excellent. Well, Lucy, would you want to plug your podcast, your show, your tour? What's going on in Lucy Porter Town?
I'm just around and I just want people to adore whatever I do.
Please buy tickets to her 2023.
Just keep Googling me.
Yeah,
just,
and you're on tour in 2023.
I am, but very much like you. Yeah. I'm only going places I can either drive back from or stay at a premiere in.
Yeah, I had a look at your tour schedule and I'm like, yeah, she's doing the Junction, Cambridge. It's very pleasant. Yes. It's a very pleasant theatre.
Oh, we'll be going to Elvedon Village, Woburn. The one in Ireland. The Lake District one.
The French ones. The French ones are
and
very
apparently
good.
Apparently the continental ones, people say, are very good.
I went to a
I've
Dutch
been to
one.
The French one. Yeah. And if I've been to the Dutch one? No, you went to the Dutch one.
I went to the Dutch one. I really
we just have
it.
Shared memories now. We're robots who have the same hard drive.
Two bodies, one brain.
Yes. Yes, I went to one outside Paris. Village Nature. Very nice.
Mm. Did you go to Paris?
No, fuck that. Fuck off. Fucking noisy and smelly. It's just like fucking London.
Too many dogs.
I want to go somewhere that's just like a bit of woodland outside Nottingham. That's where I want to go.
Fake woodland, that's what.
Well, there we go. Should we do some admin, Helen?
Yeah, we're on tour, obviously, up and down the country until 2023. Lots of tickets available. Who knew?
Throughout 2023,
yeah, exactly.
Yeah, we've booked loads of stuff in for next year. So, yeah, not all of it's on the website yet, but keep an eye out and come and see us if you like.
I am doing the marathon on the 2nd of October, so please sponsor me.
I will.
Thank you. I'm running for the wonderful charity Gingerbread, who support single parents. And what else are we doing, Ellie?
I mean, there's a shop, but fuck it.
Oh, you don't need to. I mean, it's fine. We barely get any profit. I think that it makes a loss now. So, you know, yeah. Fine. Don't buy the mugs. It's good business. And if you want to buy my book, it's on paperback now. It's just come out on paperback, so it's cheaper and lighter. Which is nice in a book. That's about it, really.
Yeah, that's about it. So, yes. Well, thank you so much, Lucy Porter. I'm so glad we finally had you on the podcast.
Oh,
you've been a delight.
So glad I've finally been on, and it's been such a pleasure. Thank
and
you.
And your show is called?
Wake Up Call.
Wake Up Call. And it's got a jazzy photo of you jumping in your pyjamas.
Well, I'd worn pyjamas throughout the pandemic, and I thought, I'm not going to stop now. So I actually do the show in pyjamas and everything.
Oh, that's fucking that's excellent brilliant. Idea.
Yeah, it's the loveliest costume I've ever had. Elasticated waist, yes, please.
Oh,
yes,
we're in, like, thrush-giving gold catsuits, and you're in, like, cotton loose-fitting things.
Oh, no thrush for me, thanks.
No, thank you. Oh, your vagina's in top nick, then.
I don't even need to get a new one. Here we go. Circle.
Sorry, Bulgaria.
New Bulgaria. No, thank you.
Excellent.
Well, thank you so much for listening. Until next time.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Proves you haven't lost your mind as
just
well.
Just found a white feather on the carpet.
It's a sign.
It's a sign that there are cushions in this room.
Yeah, there are lots.
Amazing
there's too many cushions. That's if anything, too many cushions.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.